to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio, Chris and Weasel, ready to bring you football talk just the way you like it here for the first time with internet here in the studio, so we don't sound like reverberation and awful. Thanks for coming back, Bright House. Oh, I'm still talking smack. That's what I do. Anyways, of course, with me as always, Chris, like I said, Chris Rankin, trying to keep the world safe for democracy, or at least working towards that by fighting fighters. Good times all the way around. And, I mean, is it time to set the Jets squad on fire, maybe possibly to motivate them? Who knows?
Staff.
At least the coaching staff would be on fire, possibly. Right. That could be. Who knows? And, of course, the man I know and love with me all along, Weasel Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Weasel Hurley. I think you're, what is this, year 9, year 10 that we're doing this?
Something like that.
It's yeah, right. Yeah, right. Ma'am. People buy new, people don't keep cars this long. That's what I'm trying to tell you guys. Anyways, first world problems, right? You know, if you have a problem listening to us, that's a first world problem, and you're also doing it wrong because we're awesome. At least that's what they say about us at NGSC Sports. By the way, check us out, NGSCSports.com if you aren't already. Lots of quality writing material there as well, including yours truly. I will have the matchup mania for you like I do every week. Wednesday night, late at night, ready for you Thursday morning to get you warmed up for any games that are worth your time and your popcorn. Hey, popcorn's expensive now because ethanol. But let's not make this a political show. That'll just slow things down all the way around. I don't want to make jokes about, you know, Rick Scott or whatever, because this is Florida, and not everybody lives in Florida. It's okay. But, Chris, Saints, Panthers. I mean, I guess that game was okay. Okay, I had no segue there, I'll be honest. Anyways, Saints, Panthers, Chris.
In an NFC South game that would give the winner the upper hand, the Saints, with a balanced offense, beat the Panthers on their home turf 28-10 and took the lead in the weak NFC South division. Yes, I did say that right. Balanced attack for the Saints.
It's, yeah. How exactly did that happen?
For the Saints, two straight weeks, they've had a solid running game as they just stuck with one running back, not the committee, of Mark Ingram. He had 30 carries, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground.
That's a lot.
But, I mean, it didn't start well for the Saints or the Panthers because Cam Newton and Drew Brees both threw an interception that were both deflected off the receiver's hands, and they both also were sacked, fumbled in the first half. The only thing that helped out the Saints was when Cam Newton was sacked, fumbled. It was inside the Panthers' 5-yard line.
Yeah.
The Saints scored a couple plays later. But Drew Brees was 24 for 34 for 297 yards with a touchdown with that interception and fumble. He was sacked 4 times. He also had a rushing touchdown, you know, his normal 1 yard. Dive over the pile, hold the ball over, bring it back before anyone can hit it.
That's not even a dive. That's just a lunge. Jump.
Yes.
I did it. Yay. I'm 6 feet tall. Kind of.
Cam Newton was 10 for 28, 36% for 151 yards. No touchdowns.
Yeah, that's not good. I got nothing else beyond that.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I know. Jimmy Graham, you know, he was pretty much a beast in this game. 7 catches, 83 yards with a touchdown.
Just like we expect from the Saints.
Right. So, I mean, what's been helping with the Saints lately is, like I said, with the they don't have the committee backfield. They're sticking hands. The reason why they don't have the committee is because they've got injured running backs, but they are giving Mark Ingram the ball, so they got a running back going. And what helps is with the pass, I think since everyone thinks Drew Brees is going to pass a lot, it's opening up the running game. They say running game opens up the passing game. Well, the passing game also opens up the running game too. So it's working for the Saints right now 2 weeks in a row. And Breeze is having success, you know, over 70% completions because he does have that running game as well.
Well, and I think part of it is definitely Sproles not being with the team this year, obviously having gone to the Eagles. Even if he was on the field as a running back, sure, he might run the ball here and again, but that was still a pass-heavy weapon. And I think now they rely more on the running game because, look, I mean, Mark Ingram's more of a I'm going to punch you right in the face kind of runner, you know, and I feel like I'm not going to call him injury prone, but because of his style of running, he would miss a game here or there in comparison. And of course, when it's not a committee, you're obviously going to get more carries. Kyrie Robinson, of course, being the other runner that you have seen on occasion in that backfield. But I mean, you know, I mean, when it comes down to it, most of it was the struggles of Cam Newton in the passing game overall.
Right, and then also the red zone. I mean, the Saints were 4 for 5 in the red zone. They got the red zone 5 times, so the Panthers 1 for 2.
Yeah, I mean, that's just proof in a lack of motion of the ball. You know, this isn't a tough one to evaluate. However, this does propel the Saints into the lead of the very mediocre NFC South, leading the division with 4-4, while the Panthers are 3-5-1. So technically half a game back, right? I'm okay. That's great, I guess. Not really. So anyway, we'll find out once the season moves along. I'm fairly certain whoever comes out of the NFC South will be a one and done nonetheless. Just my humble opinion. I'm calling it pretty early at this point. Anyways, Chargers fins, Chris.
Yeah, as we discussed last week and also the last few years, the Chargers don't travel well to the East. They always struggle. You know, every time they – with the Dolphins, where they've won the last 6, I think now, as the Dolphins beat them up 37-0 this time. Phillip Rivers.
37-0. You just you can't just glaze over that. 37-0. That's 0 points. That's nil. None. Niente. For those of you that speak Italian. Okay, carry on, Chris.
Well, as I said, they don't travel very well. It doesn't seem like they even made the trip. I mean, Phillip Rivers was 12 for 23.
130. Phillip who?
The fraud Rivers. Yeah, we're talking about midseason awards, and I was kind of considering him on a couple of them, but this game happened.
What happened was this game.
For 138 yards, no touchdowns, 3 INTs, and a lost fumble.
Good God.
And he was sacked 3 times.
And if I heard correctly, you are currently walloping friend of the show, G. Stelio, a friend of the network. He actually hosts the Gridiron Nation on Wednesday night. And he got, I believe you said it was -3 or -4 points from Phillip Rivers?
Yeah, it was like -4 and something for Rivers starting yesterday.
I might have to call in and harangue him on his own show Wednesday night if I'm so inclined. Anyways.
It was a big beatdown from him with this week. I mean, his team didn't do too well, especially with Phillip Rivers when he's the main scorer for his team usually. And
see, Weasel, this is what I'm talking about, man. People say we don't touch on fantasy. Hey, when Phillip Rivers gets -3 or -4 points, we're talking about it.
Exactly. Exactly.
We talked about my trade last week, too. Yeah. It's -3. Sorry. -3 points. 3.18 is what he got.
Oh, -3.
-3.18.
He would have been better on the bench.
A blank spot is better than Phillip Rivers.
Just saying.
His team got more points than he did. They didn't even score.
Wow. Well, I think that says it all. You know what? Enough of this game. Moving on. Skins, Vikings. Weasel.
Now, despite having RG3, Robert Griffin III back, the Redskins on the road lost to the Vikings 29-26.
To be honest, Weasel, I'm glad you said his full name after that because we haven't seen him in so long, we might have forgotten it.
Exactly.
Who?
This guy. Yeah.
So you got Vikings rookie quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. He had 268 yards, 1 touchdown, sacked twice, and first game with no turnovers of his career. So
2 wins in a row. So Teddy Bridgewater's struggles are now water under the bridge. Boom! You like that? That was from the hip. I thought of that right then. I'm not lying.
Not bad at all.
Talent! Okay, Weasel, continue.
We shall see if, how he does the remainder.
We'll see if there's more water under that bridge, right?
So, yeah, and RG3, 251 yards passing, 1 touchdown, 1 INT, sacked 5 times, rushed 7 times for 24 yards. So you got good old Redskin Colt McCoy, and he got W's in the prior 2 games this season. It was Titans and Cowboys. Now, did the Redskins make a mistake by starting RG3 over Colt McCoy? Because for me, it's like we gave up this much for him. He's like our franchise. He's our future. So he has to play when he comes back. But what do y'all think?
Well, first of all, before we get started, I have to talk about how your Vikings had a man with 3 touchdowns because they sprinkled some Asiata on the top of the drive.
That's right.
Some Asiata cheese to score those touchdowns.
Okay. I gotcha. I gotcha.
I feel better now. I'm glad I got that in. It's not as good as I'm hot for Farrat, but But anyways, Chris, he asked a question. Would you have do you regret not starting Colt McCoy if you were the Redskins?
Do you regret it? Yeah, I'd say you do. I hate that. He's a starter. He comes back. He starts. You know, you got to play the hot hand. Yeah, and any team, you got to play with the hot hand. You could have started Colt McCoy. If he struggled, yes, you bring in RG3 since that. Why rush him back? I mean, I know they were trying to rush him back last week, but then they started Colt McCoy. He won. They beat the Cowboys.
Right. The freaking Cowboys.
The freaking Cowboys.
Tony Romo got hurt in that game, so that's the reason why the Cowboys lost. Because Brandon Whedon.
No.
But we'll talk about that
later. No, it's Tony Romo's fault anyway.
Because he got hurt. Yes, it's his fault. But it's
Cowboys.
Because it's Brandon Whedon.
Yeah. Brandon Whedon. So, no, I got it.
Cowboy fans, you want to know how to cope with it? Talk to the Browns fans.
Oh.
But, Colt McCoy, you should have started him and then brought RG3 in. Maybe if he plays, if Colt McCoy struggled, you bring him in. But I still would have gone with Colt McCoy.
Here's the thing about it. What I'm coming to find out, and if you watch this game at all, which unfortunately I did, no offense, Weasel. It was just, I mean, this was kind of a sloppy football game. I'm going to call it what it is. But what I'm figuring out, the main difference between Colt McCoy and RG3 is how long these guys hold on to the ball. In my view, there were a number of sacks on RG3. Dude, how are you getting sacked like that and you're even more mobile, allegedly, than Colt McCoy, which it's not alleged, it's true. But, I mean, yeah, Weasel.
For RG3, he's been, in the NFL, it's 3 years, right?
Yep.
And the thing about him is that a lot of times when the pocket breaks down,
yep,
he goes running.
Yep.
And the one thing I saw about it is that, I mean, he had like 7 rushes, which, I mean, it's something you have to, you know, slide or something like that.
Of course.
But I don't know if he doesn't trust his offensive line because on the other side of the field, you have Teddy Bridgewater. The guy's a rookie. I think he's only played like 3-4 games.
Yep.
And what he continuously does, he steps up into the pocket. Like, if he's going to get tackled or something like that, he still, you know, steps up and makes the throw. He doesn't run that often, only when, you know, he has to.
Or he doesn't scurry about trying to create stuff and hold the ball too long. I think you and I are saying essentially the same thing here. You're absolutely right, in my opinion, anyways. Great point. Great addition. I like the way you described it. It was much more, it was spoken more, much more like a GFM when you said it, a great football mind.
Word.
I just sounded like an angry man who's like, what the hell? But, you know, I mean, hey, if you're a Redskins fan, which I am not, but if you are, it's a good reason to be a little frustrated with what's going on. And, you know, upon that, I shan't front. And if you are hoping to get a chance to compete in the weak NFC East, you're not gonna. Basically, what's coming down to at this point. Speaking of teams that aren't gonna compete, you were done with that game, right, Weasel?
It's getting there, but
okay, wrap it up.
Just saying, Redskins Alfred Morris, 19 carries for 92 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
And then you have Matt Asiata, had 10 for 26 and the 3 touchdowns you were mentioning.
Sprinkle some Asiata on the top.
So yeah. The Vikings, they got a game-winning drive by Teddy Bridgewater, which was, you know, it's looking pretty good. And RG3, they got the ball with 3:27 left down by a field goal. And they stopped it at a 4th-and-6. And so they're sitting at 3-6. And my final question is that I think it's not like if, it's when the Redskins are out of the playoff picture. should they keep RG3 in, or should they let Colt McCoy finish the season?
Oh, no. RG3 has to finish the season. He has to develop. If they want any hope of him becoming anything, RG3 has to play. I mean, am I right here, Chris? I mean, he needs to continue to try to develop and get a little bit of confidence going here, right?
Yeah, you don't go bench him right now. Even if you don't want to move on after the end of the season with him, you need to play him in order to try to get someone to try to come out and take them instead of just try cutting them and, you know, cut your losses. There's no way they're going to make the playoffs as a team already. You just need to get him to get back there if they're going to try to invest, because they've already invested a lot in him. If they're going to continue that investment, they need to start him for the rest of the year to try to get him to come back to what he was in his rookie season.
And let me add this to that. Let's say RG3 continues to struggle. Worst case scenario, of course, for the Redskins. The silver lining is the more RG3 struggles, the better Colt McCoy looks for trade bait. Mm. Just throwing it out there, boys. Anyways.
And a better chance for them to be in the top few picks to try to get another.
Well, I'm not talking about tanking necessarily, but, you know, that's a different topic. Anyway, speaking of teams that look like they're tanking, the Jets played against the Chiefs in Kansas City. Chris!
The Chiefs handed the Jets their eighth straight loss in a 24-10 to improve 5-3, while the Jets are battling with the Jags and the Raiders to see who can have the worst record in the NFL. Raiders got the upper hand right now, but Jets are only one game back from
that. You know, and considering the Jets have an easier schedule, I still think the Jets are behind because, I mean, putting up fights against some of the teams they have, including the Chargers, for example. I mean, okay, not that this is a good week to examine the Chargers as a good team, but I digress. Chris. Right.
Michael Vick was 21 for 28, 75%, not bad. Yeah. 196 yards with a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, easily his best game.
There were no turnovers in this game. I mean, Alex Smith was 21 for 31, 68%, 199 yards with two touchdowns. So, I mean, the stats with Alex Smith are pretty much equal. I mean, actually, Michael Vick had a little bit of the upper hand there, just not that extra touchdown that was actually a fluke touchdown because tight end Anthony Fasano caught it while he was on his back and then just got up and rolled into the end zone.
No, no, he didn't get up. Yeah. He just lunged.
Right. Because he was blocking, and he got blocked and got put on his butt, and all of a sudden the ball gets deflected, and Fasano's like, oh, look, a ball.
Wow.
Chris Johnson, you know, had most of the carries for the Jets, so he had 11 attempts for 69 yards.
Oh, right.
And Jamal Charles had 20 for 78 with a touchdown. I mean, looking at the stats throughout this whole game, pretty much even except for third down, Jets were 33% to the Chiefs were 62%. It's, you know, that's pretty good. Red zone, 3 for 4 for the Chiefs, 1 for 2 for the Jets.
Pop quiz, gentlemen. I think without question, the best game for the Jets was when they played and competed against the Broncos and it was at the very end of the game where Geno Smith threw a pick six. Is this their second best performance of the year? Weasel, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'd say so.
That's unfortunate, isn't it, Chris?
No, I'd say also the Patriot game was better in this one as well.
Uh-huh.
Because Patriot game was as close as the Broncos.
So Chris is following Patriot games this week. Also a very interesting movie with Harrison Ford. Moving on, because the 90s. Anyways, moving on. I have, when do I don't even.
I was about to say, that's the only Patriots I really like too is Patriot games. That was a good movie.
Hey, well, you like the Patriots, like, you know, when you're watching historical movies, I hope. Otherwise, I don't hear enough of your British accent. But moving forward, Raiders, Seahawks. Now, gentlemen, I was talking with Jerome Butler, a.k.a. Raider Rome, on the NFL West Recess where I'm filling in for Daryl Wilson, a.k.a. D-Will, because he had a new addition to his family, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. And we weren't very optimistic that the Raiders would compete. They competed, sure, but then they still did lose 30-24. Still kept it within a touchdown. They did block a punt to get a touchdown and competed for the game very well. Unfortunately, 3 turnovers on the day. Too much for them to overcome in the matchup. Russell Wilson not attaining his normal level of epicness, went 17-4. 35, 179 yards. Not a great day for Russell Wilson. But Marshawn Lynch ran 21 for 67 with 2 touchdowns, 5 catches for 76 yards on the day. The entire Oakland Raider offense, by comparison, on the ground, 18 for 34. So what you're trying to say, Kyle, is he gained nearly twice as many yards. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying, and he scored twice, too. Michael Rivera, the tight end for the Raiders, their top receiver, once again, 8 catches for 38 yards. He had 2 touchdowns in this game. However, gentlemen, pop quiz. He spells Michael M-Y-C-H-A-L. Am I the only one that wants to pronounce that Mitchell? Okay, I know I'm nitpicking, but I'm just not feeling the fancy spelling of Michael. It's somebody that was trying to be original, and unfortunately, yeah, it's not working
don't,
for
don't
me.
Don't blame him. Blame his parents.
I guess I am. Anyways, I don't know if there's anybody's parents we should blame in this game, But I'm certainly starting to blame a front office for this next game we have to talk about, going to the Bucks and the Browns. Weasel!
Now, in a close game throughout, the Browns at home, they defeated the Bucks 22-17. Now, quarterbacks, they had a, you know, kind of average games, not bad. Bucks' Mike Glennon had 260 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. And the bright spot, though, for the Bucks is the play of rookie wide receiver Mike Evans.
Mike Evans.
He was the one that he bailed out last year with Texas A&M quarterback.
Manziel.
He built it like he had pretty much were, he had like a lot of jump ball passes, and he made Manziel look really good in a lot of plays.
So Johnny Football is really only Johnny Football-ish.
Yeah. But so he's doing good for the Bucks. He was the good mid spot wide receiver pick.
Speaking of Johnny, did you see Mike Evans' touchdown? He did the Johnny Manziel celebration.
He did do the cash celebration.
That's funny. So
hey, someone might as well do it because Johnny Football isn't. Oh!
Just in those aerobics commercials, maybe.
Yeah, well, he doesn't even do it there. He just gets a Snickers bar. Oh, great advertisement. Damn it. No, but hey, I'll tell you this. I wonder if Johnny Manziel had a good view of it from the bench. Boom. Weasel.
Exactly, because they got Brian Hoyer, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. Now, depending on, like, you know, an injury or something like that, do you see Hoyer starting for the remainder of the year?
I do. At this point, look, I have their record right in front of me at 5-3. Understand, gentlemen, that this officially means they have the same record as the world champion Seahawks. Okay? No one had the Browns at 5-3 in this point in the season back on September 1st when we made our predictions. Don't know. Weasel, don't lie to me. Shut up, Chris. You didn't either.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay. But we didn't have them at 5-3 in the middle of the season. It just didn't happen. Okay? Now, we also didn't have the Cardinals at 7-1. More on that later. But at days in, I don't see at this juncture how...
I had them at 5-3. I did have them at 5-3. I had them at 6-10 for the season, though, but I had them at 5-3 right now. Tampa, I'm just
okay,
looking at
so
it right now.
Okay, so Brian Hoyer's due for a real garbage-ass second half. That's what we're... You have to go at 1-7 in the second half?
Yes, I do.
They must have an awful schedule. But yes, so. Anyways, all this comedy aside...
Well, I thought the Falcons were better than they are. And Texans, too. I thought they were going to have an up air, but... Yeah, that's not looking good for them the rest of the season.
Wow. By the way, any of our Cleveland Brown fans, Chris does not apologize, but I do.
Say what it is. It is still Cleveland.
You really had them at 5-3.
Yes, I had them at 5-3. I had them losing to the Steelers and Steelers, Saints, and I had them losing to the Titans.
Okay, well, you got the Saints wrong. Yeah.
All right. But I had them beating the Steelers 2 weeks ago. I had them beating the Jags, beating the Raiders, beating the Bucks. And beating the
Ravens.
Wow,
they really have had an easy schedule so far. Oh, right, because the past 3 weeks they've had, what is it? And it's not in this order, but they've had
the Jags, then the Raiders, then the Bucks.
And they lost one of those.
Yeah, they lost to the Jags.
Huh. Fine, you had them in 5-3. Yeah. All right, I believe it. So, but
well,
yeah,
yes, I did.
To answer your question, maybe I had them at 5-3. I at least had them at 3-something.
Yeah, anyway. You have them 6-10 for the season, so I don't know. We both had them at 6-10 for the season.
We both really hate their back half of the season, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so
we've had them at 5-11 for the whole year, so he's thinking they're
really
going.
He really hates the back half of their schedule. Hey,
I may nail it. We'll see.
But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think you're right. Barring injury, I believe Hoyer will remain in the game. Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
But they are also getting a player back in a few weeks as well. That's going to help them out.
Oh, Josh Gordon.
Yeah, week 11, he comes back.
So, yeah, I mean, we'll definitely be touching on that. I mean, let's assume they lose next week, which, you know, we don't know if that's true or not. Actually, we may want to check
against the Bengals on Thursday night.
Let's assume they lose that, which, you know, as up and down as the Bengals have been playing, maybe could happen. Who knows? If they lose, that puts them at 6-4 without their top receiver. Dudes, playoff potential there.
Yep.
We had them at 6-10 or 5-11. Anyways, yeah, let's get another game in here before the break. We have Jags, Bengals, Weasel.
So the Jaguars on the road. The Bengals on the road beat the Jaguars 33-23. Now, even with the return of wide receiver A.J. Green.
Yes, huge.
Yes.
Huge.
Dalton had 233 yards passing, two touchdowns, two INTs.
Yeah. Although I'll grant, I think one of his INTs really wasn't his fault. I'm not really fond of the INT numbers he's been throwing up as much as I defend the Red Rifle. But continue.
So rookie running back Jeremy Hill for the Bengals. 24 carries, 154 yards, two touchdowns. Breakout game for him now.
Yeah, yeah. They go from not having A.J. Green to being without Giovanni Bernard. Apparently it didn't matter.
A lot of times what happens with like in fantasy football,
right,
is that you get a guy rush for like, you know, 130 yards, or he got three touchdowns, and then they just, you know, forget about him in a couple weeks because they don't do anything else.
Right.
Is this guy the real deal, or will he just kind of, you know, dissolve away?
Chris, let me have you lead that one off, because I got to think about that a second.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's not. He's just going to be a backup because Giovanni Bernard's been running the ball well. He supplements him very well. The reason why they have success is because Cincinnati's known to throw the ball. I mean, they threw the ball only 31 times this game. Usually he's throwing more in the 40s range. Mm-hmm. They did get A.J. Green back, but, I mean.
Hey, don't forget. Sanu, yes, Sanu.
That's what I was about to bring up. You got to remember, Mohamed Sanu is more of a fantasy than Hill is right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, people have seen Sanu coming by now. People with brains would have considered Jeremy Hill. I think you're right that people will flock to Jeremy Hill now in fantasy. But is he the real deal? Your question is very vaguely posed, so I will say yes in the case of. I think you can safely say that the Bengals may potentially have a good committee on their hands. Can he replace Giovanni Bernard? I don't think so. Giovanni Bernard is a threat both in the running and passing game. Not to say that Jeremy Hill, not to say that he can't catch passes at all, but he's not the same. He's not a Giovanni Bernard guy. But the versatility and the talent therein, and I like the committee concept. I do.
You got to look at this Bengals offense, too. They're young.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Andy Dalton's the oldest right now with the running backs and everything. He's 27. Year? Andy Dalton?
Yeah, fourth year.
Yes, his fourth season, right.
As
A.J. Green. Cam. Yeah, and then A.J. Green came in his fourth year, too. But then Mohamed Sanu is in his third year. He's 25.
That's correct.
I mean, you got Jeremy Hill, who's his rookie, and then you got Javon Bernard, who's his second season.
So I guess what Chris is telling you is he may not be the real deal, but he may be at one point, which, going back to Chris's axiom of potential, you suck now, but you might be really good. Anyways, let's see.
Well, just to wrap it up with the Jaguars, they got rookie quarterback Blake Bortles, 247 yards, two touchdowns, only one INT. Was this his best game as a starter?
I think so. I think this was a game where he competed well against a Bengals unit that, I mean, let's put it this way. One of the touchdowns that Jeremy Hill got was a 60-yard run. If you take that off the board, I mean, what is that? That's a damn field goal away from winning this football game against a team that has been the lock to win the AFC North / make the playoffs. Right?
Right. And then also that Blake Bortles' interception came with 3:33 left, and it was in the end zone.
Oh, wow. So he Roethlisberger'd.
Right.
That means, see, look at the numbers a lot. Most, if you look at the numbers as a percentage, for those who don't know, Roethlisberger's interceptions tend to be in the red zone or in the end zone, which I guess is technically the red zone as well. More often, it's like a ridiculously high percentage. I know back in 2010, it was like 65%. I did the math. So, because math. I don't know. Anyways, before we go into the break here, let's go ahead and hit up the Eagles and the Texans. Let's put it this way. You would have expected the Eagles' offense to be musical, almost like an old-school band. That's not what happened here. Nick Foles leaves the game early. Nonetheless, the Sanchez, Mark Sanchez, leads his team to victory. And 31-21 is the outcome. Nick Foles did go 10 for 13 before he departed the game with 124 yards and a touchdown. Did also throw an interception, but left the game with, it's a broken collarbone. So 6 to 8 weeks, I think, is the number on that.
6 to 8 weeks.
Which really means that if you want to see him play again, they have to make the playoffs at this juncture. Potentially. It's close. What is it? Week 10 coming up? Yeah, it's pretty much how it's going to have to go down.
Yeah, he'll play. I think he'll be back.
You think he'll make it week 17-ish?
Yeah, it'll be week 16, 17 probably.
Okay. So, at any rate, Eagles fans, you're going to have to get settled in with the Sanchez there for a bit. Mark Sanchez not going to go anywhere. Well, unless he gets benched for the third stringer, but, you know. Best case scenario.
Just make sure you wear white jerseys because the green matches the grass. That's where he usually throws the ball.
Well, you might be getting confused with the Texans starter Ryan Fitzpatrick, who threw a whopping 13-27, 203 yards. He did have two touchdowns with an interception. Also, well, yeah, there's no also. I mean, that's part of their struggles. Arian Foster did have to leave the game early, but before he left, he was a factor. Six carries for 49 yards, two catches for 63 yards and a touchdown. Not enough. I mean, and look, by the way, most important to me, if you look at the Eagles, still run the ball effectively, 23 carries, 117 yards, facing a D-line that features one J.J. Watt and company. Actually, you know, while they did lose Foles in this game, they also lose offensive guard Todd Harriman's. And biggest deal for me, in my opinion, gentlemen, linebacker D'Amico Ryans on a defense that is already without, I shouldn't say without stars, on a defense that is seen to be overworked and under-talented, quote-unquote, for the offense that they have by comparison. I mean, that's a big loss. D'Amico Ryan's definitely a captain, and I'm sure he's pissed to leave the game early against his former team. Biggest deal, though, for me, red zone percentage, a 3-for-3, 100% were the Eagles in this game. So you got to give the Sanchez a little bit of credit. Yeah, he had two interceptions, but he did enough to win the game. And, I mean, hell, that got Josh McCown a starting job in Tampa. So there you go. Anyways, we're going to go ahead and go to a quick break right there. It's just going to have to be a musical break at the moment, I guess. But you are listening to NGSC Sports.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we are back here on the Student of the Game, bringing you football talk just the way you like it here for the NFL. And, yeah, let's get right into it. Guys, the 49ers hosted the Rams. You know, based on the way they played in St. Louis on Monday Night Football a few weeks back, you're thinking, pretty simple win for the 49ers. Not so much. 13-10, the final score. The Rams are victorious. Now, everybody's be like, oh, Colin Kaepernick fumbled the ball on a quarterback sneak that would have won the game. Gentlemen, I'm fairly certain you haven't seen the play because of West Coast bias that exists that doesn't show games in Florida. Did anybody notice how the center was pushed back into Colin Kaepernick? Anybody? Just trust me, it happened that way. So the reason why I mention that is because why is the center getting stood up? He has an advantage when he snaps the ball like that and should be able to pounce instantly on the defensive tackle. However, when you begin to mishandle the snap, you become a bit distracted. And then thusly you are pushed back into your quarterback. And then thusly you put your quarterback in a position to lose the effing game. One of two fumbles on the day that Colin Kaepernick did have overall. Also, a number of other things did plague the 49ers. Phil Dawson did miss a field goal. Granted, it was a 55-yarder, and it's Phil frickin' Dawson. He gets a pass. 0-for-2 in the red zone also were the 49ers. Additionally, or perhaps I should say, finally. Well, actually, no, not finally. Then there was the punt where it was run out of the end zone and then back in. Not called a safety. Challenged. Play stood. So, yeah, there's another $48,000 raise not deserved. Moreover, hey, Weasel, a number of years back, there was a particular play in a Steeler-Raven game where the ball was thrown inside the end zone, caught and possessed, and then in that process of catching and possessing the ball, it came out of the end zone, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah, and it's a while back. I don't even think it wasn't Hines Ward, I don't think. But the point is, this has happened in the NFL before, and it was a touchdown. Michael Crabtree catches and possesses the football inside the end zone, falls forward during the process of the catch outside of the end zone. It's called on the 1 yard line. Now, people are going to call me a homer on this, but how many blown calls did they get on this one? At the end of the day, I don't care how many blown calls there were. The 49ers were still completely undisciplined, completely useless in the red zone, and they deserve to lose the football game, despite the gifts the referees may have taken away from them. But let's not make this completely about the officials. Austin Davis may have only gone 13 for 24, but he did have... Oh, snap. He didn't have two touchdowns. He had two interceptions. Oops. I can't write. But they did do well enough in the red zone, 1 for 2. To win the game. I mean, it's that simple. They found Kenny Britt in the fourth quarter to, or not in the fourth quarter, I'm sorry, to tie it at 10-10 in the second quarter, first half.
What about the 18-yard punt by the Niners punter out of his own end zone?
Yeah.
That didn't help because that led to a field goal.
Yeah. 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 Niners suck. Anyways.
And how is that Crabtree not the touchdown there? Across the plane.
Because poorly earned freaking raises by the NFL officials. And yet some jackass that's there, oh, it's our officiating expert. I don't care if it's Mike Carey or Mike Piera or whoever the guy on Monday Night Football is. You all were horrible at your jobs, and you're still doing it. Now there goes that sponsor. Anyways, so enough about that trash. Broncos, Patriots, Chris.
You know, we need cold game, which could be a preview of the AFC Championship game. The Patriots beat the Broncos 43-21 and improved to 7-2 and hold a head-to-head advantage over the Broncos as they fall 6-2. Both teams are pretty much matched up as neither team got anything going on the ground today or last night. They both found success through the air. Peyton Manning, 34-57, 438 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. One of the INTs was off of Wes Welker's chest inside the Patriots' territory.
How awful was that? Now, look, I know that everybody gives Wes Welker a harder time for the drop he had in the Super Bowl when he's still a Patriot. First of all, that wasn't Welker's fault. Second, it wasn't Welker's fault. And third, it was at least a tough catch. This hit you right in the effing chest! Make the play! And, of course, when he didn't make the play, he lost it. His attention was on where the ball was going. He gets jacked up, hit in the back, and leaves the game early.
You should have got it.
Well played. Well played. Chris.
Tom Brady was 33 for 53, 333 yards with 4 touchdowns and 1 INT.
That's a lot. Yes.
As I said, with the, you know, through the air receivers, Emmanuel Sanders had 10 catches for 151 yards. Demaryius Thomas, 7 for 127. But Gronk had 9 for 105 with a touchdown. A big difference in this game. And yeah. Julian Edelman had 9 for 89 yards with a touchdown. He also had an 84-yard punt return for a touchdown. They gave the Patriots momentum, put them up 20-7 in the second quarter, and then the Patriots would go into the half leading 27-7.
You know, and I wrote about this in the NFL matchup mania because, I mean, look, because it was, it was quote, a Brady-Manny game, I can't not write about it if I'm a preview, article writer in any shape or form or fashion of the word. I thought the Broncos were going to win this game, which apparently I was obviously wrong, but I said if the Patriots were to win, it would go through Gronk. Look, I don't care how many stat lines it says that Tom Brady threw in touchdowns. And I'll give Edelman his credit. He stepped up big in the game with the punt return. He caught a touchdown himself. But when they could not figure out, and they, of course, being the freaking Broncos linebacker core, how to handle Rob Gronkowski, it all went to hell from there. They even tried to put Akeem Talib on him. You want to know what that resulted in? A freaking holding penalty that gave the Patriots a first down. Okay? Rob Gronkowski is back. And the reason why we can use that is because he was actually gone in the first place from injury and various other things. Gronk is doing Gronk things from 2012, 2011 at this point? Okay?
Gronk 2011. What's 2012 is when he got injured, and then 2013 he got injured again. So.
Right, okay.
So 2011, yes.
The point is, the dude is back to the form you came to know and love. The form that damn near got him an MVP honor from me. Because everything collapses trying to so hard to defend Gronk. Openings happen. Brendan LaFell has been useless for the Patriots for most of 2014, and Shane Vereen caught a touchdown that was so embarrassingly wide open because they're overcompensating for Gronk. okay? Not to say Brady's bad. I'm obviously not saying Brady's bad. But look, when the decision is made for you, so simple that the holes in the coverage are as gaping as this because of Gronk, I'm giving Gronk his credit. Oh, but it was Tom Brady. Look, everybody's loving Tom Brady plenty. Give it to my dude Gronk. Not to mention, insert joke about dating a porn star here. Kidding. I'm kidding. Anyways, next game on the docket. Weasel. Ravens Steelers.
The Steelers at home crushed their division rival, the Ravens, 43-23. Steelers quarterback Big Ben Roethlisberger. He had 340 yards, six touchdowns. No, wait. Yeah, it was six touchdowns. He had six touchdowns.
By himself.
Yeah, he did that last week. So,
you sure you didn't look at last week's notes?
Oh, yeah.
I knew.
So, yeah.
No, that's six touchdowns in two consecutive games. Not been done before.
It's actually the NFL record was 11 touchdowns and between two games, but 6-6, I'm telling you.
I guess that's more.
Pretty pretty impressive. So now the thing is that in that game, there were the third quarter, you had Steelers running back LeGarrette Blount. He was trying to get extra yards, trying to go through like a wall of defenders types of things. And so Terrell Suggs, the plays, he was kind of behind the play. And so he's like, I'll just take out his legs. What do you think? So a lot of people are calling it, dirty. And it got the LeGarrette Blount down. But the thing is, it was like one of those, is that really necessary type of things.
But look at the game that it happened in, too. When you see it's a Ravens-Steelers game, are you shocked that it happened?
Yeah, that's true. But it was just one of those plays that it was like, didn't look good for Suggs.
Yeah.
But what's kind of cool is that, though, there is not an AFC North team with a losing record. So looks like Steelers, at least the offense.
Say that one more time.
There's not in the AFC North, they don't have a team with a losing record.
That's some trippy stuff.
So
I don't know what to tell you.
So how would y'all rank the division of the NFC North, compared to other teams? Are they one of the top divisions, or would you say maybe middle of the row?
You mean AFC North?
AFC North, yes.
Because the NFC North sucks right now. I'm just going to call it what it is.
According to all the other divisions, if you look at record base, yes, they're one of the top.
You can't look at just the record.
Right. But I mean, they've played against the NFC South.
AFC South. Right.
Yes. Yeah, the AFC South and NFC South, I think, is their.
Okay, so two of the most garbage divisions in the league and each other.
Yeah, they play AFC South and NFC South. And then their bonus games. This is based on the AFC East and the AFC West. So, I mean, that's what their bonus games
are. I'll say this. If there's a bottom four and top four, because there are eight divisions, because math, I think we could comfortably say they're in the top four. The bottom four to me would be both the South divisions, the NFC North, and the AFC East. Would you put them ahead of the NFC East at this point?
Yeah, I'd put them ahead of the NFC East.
I would too. Because, I mean, I hesitate because the Steelers have had a bit of an identity crisis. We don't know what to expect from them. But lately, I mean, you have to expect that there's a middle ground between losing to the Bucks at home and throwing two freaking six touchdown games consecutively. Because, look, six touchdowns in a game is also a defensive effort because you have to have enough time on the field with the ball enough times to score six times. You can't do that without some turnovers, which they managed a couple against the Ravens last night. So, yeah. All right, well, let's wrap it up. The Cowboys and the Cardinals. Now, guys, we are in an unfortunate disadvantage on this show when we pick games because we don't see Monday Night Football. I think this is the week we were most impacted in picks with that disadvantage because we did not see Tony Romo get hurt, let alone were we aware that he wouldn't come back on Sunday after coming into play that same Monday night where he got hurt. Craziness. And due to that departure of Tony Romo, they had zero offensive touchdowns. Yeah, so the Cardinals won. 28-17. I mean, let me check my stats. No, Brandon Weeden did have a touchdown on the day, but they did go quite a while without an offensive touchdown. Pretty sad.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Carson Palmer continuing to make me look like a genius, talking him up. 22 for 34, 249, three touchdowns. The Cardinals, gentlemen, the Cardinals have the best.
Hold on. Yes, that's right.
Hold it.
Yes, you did say it right.
I got to focus to say this.
You did say it right.
Get out of my head. Give me a second. The Cardinals have the best record in the NFL. There we go. Okay.
Yes.
I didn't stop.
That is right.
I mean, look, there's nothing else to really talk about that. The Cardinals have surprised everyone. So the question I'll ask is about the Cowboys. Pop quiz. With the hiatus that we expect from Tony Romo due to his back injury, can the Cowboys still make the playoffs? Weasel.
Well, I think it's Brandon Weeden would have to be more of a game manager. DeMarco Murray he's still, you know, having a great season.
Okay.
So defense has got to step up, but game manager for Weeden, I think, Murray is having a memorable season now.
Yeah.
So the guy could be threatening some records. So, but yeah, it's a big loss with Romo, but they could still make it.
So the answer, your answer to the question is yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Chris,
mine won't be as long. Yes, Tony Romo's not going to be out long. They got the Jags this week again in London. So they should sit Romo as much as they can against the Jags. If they start losing to the Jags, yeah, maybe put him in. If he can go, but yeah, they still have to play the Giants again, and they still have to play the Redskins again. So,
and I believe they still have the Eagles in Week 17.
Well, I was talking about wins.
Oh, but and it's for that exact reason that you mentioned. My answer is no. There's too much clutch coming up later in the season. I don't think it's a lock that the Cowboys beat the Jags this week. I'll even say that. The adversity of all that travel and Blake Bortles finding his groove with Weeden, who apparently doesn't have a groove at the moment. If they lose that game, I'm going to look like a genius. I'm not saying they will. But my answer is no today, that the Cowboys will not make the playoffs. Anyways, with that, we have about 13 minutes left in the show. Gentlemen, we're guaranteed to go over this week because, look, midseason awards. Booyah. Let's throw it down. What do you say, guys?
Sounds good.
Right. Feeling frisky? Let's get it. Yeah. Chris, wait, what am I doing? Get some music. Oh, yeah. There we go. All right. First category for midseason awards. Chris.
Biggest surprise.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and lead this one off because I think I just said it. The freaking Cardinals have the best NFL record twice in a row without stuttering. Booyah! I mean, look, I don't know. All the defensive players they're missing, all the... I'm not going to say it again. You've heard me say it a lot on this show and read about me writing it in print. It's that simple. Weasel, what you got?
I actually do have the Cardinals too, and just to add... They are two games up in front of the defending Super Bowl champions, the Seahawks.
Oh, interesting point you bring there. They have not played the Seahawks yet, I believe, yes?
I don't think so.
No, that would be an interesting game to watch, obviously. And on top of all that, they have officially swept the NFC East on their schedule. Interesting note there. Chris!
Yeah, that was a good pick, the Cardinals. I went with Dallas Cowboy and DeMarco Murray. Basically, combined how well they've done.
Without midseason, I'll go with that.
Right, with, you know... You take out Tony Romo's injury, they wouldn't have lost to the Skins. They wouldn't have lost yesterday.
Well,
the way they've been playing with all the injuries,
but
with all the injuries they had on defense, where they're like, "Oh, their defense isn't that great." Their defense has actually been helping them out.
Yeah.
So that's what made me the surprise. But also, DeMarco Murray has over 1,000 yards rushing already through the 8 games.
That's ridiculous.
So, what he has 7 straight 100 yards is probably even more now. I didn't even see what he ran against the Skins or yesterday. So.
And it's Tony Romo's fault that the record's broken because he didn't keep the record to 8 games in a row because he's hurt.
Anyway. So
next up, Chris.
Biggest disappointment.
I'll leave this one off too. Why not? I have the New Orleans Saints. I really expected them to have an opportunity to dominate this division. Instead, they've come out 4-4. And really have been only worthwhile playing in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. The fact that we're having this discussion of, golly, they're 4-4, And that may, and they still may be able to limp by in the playoffs because, you know, the rest of their division is struggling, is way different than the picture I painted where they're going to dominate this division. So I have the Saints personally. Weasel.
A little different route. I got Ravens running back Ray Rice and Vikings running back Adrian Peterson.
For biggest disappointment.
Yeah. The guy, well.
Yeah, I
it's because the biggest disappointment was it. And now players are going to be out due to injury. I mean, it's part of the game. But this is legal reasons.
I didn't quite catch what you were saying, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, Teddy Bridgewater has his running backs. He has Asiata. The cheese. And McKinnon. And it's like, how different would he play when he has, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson, but also an Adrian Peterson in the backfield. Hmm. So a little bit of a different point for disappointment. So.
You know, we've come to accept Ray Rice. See, the reason why I wouldn't have picked Ray Rice is because we knew he was going to be missing. Adrian Peterson, however, was such a pillar to the game. I could see where you're going with him. That makes sense. Chris?
I'm going with this was a tough one for me because I was going with organizations, also players. But I decided to go with Chicago Bears and Jay Cutler.
Good call.
Because, you know, I'd say the Bears, because of their defense, you know, supposed to be pretty good. And so Chicago Bears are always supposed to be good. They picked up Jared Allen from the Vikings. You know, they lose Julius Peppers, but
right. They
got Jared Allen coming in. And then their defense is horrible. Jay Cutler is even worse. So that's where I went with the biggest disappointment, because I had them making the playoffs.
We both had them as a playoff team, I believe. So, yeah. Good point there, too. Next up, Chris.
Best acquisition.
Weasel, lead this one off.
I'm going to say Aqib Talib from the Broncos cornerback. He had 35 tackles, 33 solo, and 2 INTs, one of which was for a touchdown. So, got him from the Patriots, and he's making moves up in with the Broncos, too. So.
Absolutely. Chris?
Yeah, I had Steve Smith on here originally, and then I'm like, you know what, that is a pretty good pickup, but there's another one. I'm going to go with a Bronco player as well, but not Talib. I'm going to go with DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah, good call.
Because he solidified the front that they didn't have the presence. Their defense is pretty good except for yesterday. DeMarcus Ware is fifth in sacks in the league. His teammate Von Miller, it's opened up for him. He's third. So they got two players in the top five for sacks right now.
And my guy's going to be TJ Ward. No, I'm just kidding. See, then we got on the Broncos. No, actually, I'm going to go a little bit different direction. And I'm going to say that my best acquisitions – granted, Steve Smith, second place here, obviously, because he's going to be limited because his numbers can only get so high with Joe Flacco. Best acquisition this year for me right now is a pair of corners specifically, in Brandon Browner and Darrell Revis in New England. That is the best corner pairing they've had in New England easily this decade and probably the one previous. I mean, you got to start talking about guys like Ty Law and Asante Samuel before you have a relevant duo of corners in Foxborough. And I think that is another thing that made a difference in the recent victory over the Broncos as well. I mean, look, stopping the air attack is something they struggled with. As it was, they almost lost to both E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith last year as rookies because their defense was that bad and they were also missing some people due to injury. I think what's helped them along is first the return of the world's fastest movable object in Vince Wilfork, and of course the pairing of Brandon Browner and Darrell Revis. I'm just saying. Next up, Chris.
Coach of the year.
Okay, I'm leaving this one off and just deal with it. And if he's not a coach of the year for the second time, it had to have been because of a catastrophe. Bruce Arians, booyah, take it. That's what it is to me.
I got him as well.
Bingo. Chris, Weasel.
Same. 7-1. Only loss was against the Broncos in Denver.
And remember what that took to happen. Their second string quarterback had to get hurt. And their third stringer still threw an 80-yard touchdown. Unfortunately, that's all he did all game. But that's what it took for them to lose to the Broncos. Guys, I'm going to throw this out here. If the Cardinals make the Super Bowl, which they won't, but if they do and they play the Broncos, I'm worried for the Broncos in a revenge game. I'm just saying. Next up, Chris.
All right, let's go over to the rookies. Offensive rookie of the year.
Guys, if you don't have Kelvin Benjamin, you're doing it wrong. And yes, I'm going to shout out the secret agent of sports, Chris Rizzo, for trying to tell me that it's Sammy effing Watkins. You're wrong. You're high. And anybody else who has Sammy Watkins for the rookie of the year, reevaluate your life or move out of Michigan and or not Michigan, Buffalo. Washington. Move out of Washington State and or Colorado because you've had too much weed and it's affecting your brain. If you want to consider Josh Brown out of Arizona, I'm with that. Don't come at me with Sammy Watkins. Don't come at me with Derek Carr. It's Kelvin frickin' Benjamin. And it's not just because he beat Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas on a double in a double team, but that's certainly a large part of it. Weasel,
I actually got him too in a little
better.
Little funny thing about it is that he's of course the rookie, and at the NFL Combine, the guy purposely ran a slow 40. He had a 4.61.
Conspiracy theory.
Purposely were.
Yeah, he did.
They're not purposely.
He,
conspiracy
he
ran theory. A bad one. He
the
said
guy,
that.
The guy runs about a 4.4. 4.61, I think, was like the 36th worst in the from other wide receivers. So the guy was looking, you know, to go early first round or something like that. But no, he wanted to play for the Panthers. So, of course, you know, when he does the team workout with the Panthers, he does good. But people say, you know, the combine is like a lot of it's pointless. And this 40 time most likely dropped him a lot. So it was kind of cool how he did go to the team that he wanted to.
You know, you were saying this to me the other night when I was heavily inebriated and it was tough for me to form an opinion. but, wow. Chris is just. Do you understand that Chris is looking at me like he just had a bite of some of my daughter's like rotten baby food? She's only been eating solid food for 2 weeks, so, I mean.
He ran it bad. He didn't purposely run it bad. He said the reason why he ran with his bad 40 time got him the fall to the Panthers, that he didn't purposely run a bad 40 time.
That's what he wants you to believe, Chris.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just tall, man. I mean, that's a lot of calculation for it to fall just right. You never know. I mean, hey, it could be as simple as, oh, I don't want to play for the Texans. And, hey, if you're a receiver, would you want to play for Ryan Fitzpatrick?
It was more, I think, I don't want to play with 31 of the 32 teams in the NFL.
See,
he said he wanted to go to Carolina. That's all I'm saying.
Look, the only reason why I'm down on your theory is this is the guy that tried to tell me that the fantasy files were real. Stop it. Anyway. It's an interesting conversation piece. I will grant you that. Now, before we do the rest of our...
Can I get my pick in?
Huh?
Can I get my pick in?
No.
Okay.
Because we know who is it?
It's Kelvin Benjamin also.
That's why you can't get in. We knew you're picking him. He's the best choice. He's pretty
right.
much the only
choice. Yeah, because he had to come in and fill in the role of a starter.
Smith.
Right. Because, I mean, if you look at Mike Evans in Tampa, he has Vincent Jackson. You look at John Brown out in Arizona, he still has Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd out there.
Yeah.
So
and John Carlson.
Right. So, and then Sammy Watkins, it's Buffalo. Deal with it. Yeah, I mean, they did get rid of Stevie Johnson, but, I mean, they were looking at...
Well, Scott Chandler helps him out.
Right, yeah, Scott Chandler and also the other receiver that they have.
Robert Woods.
Right.
Who's so good you can't even remember his damn name.
Yes. So, I mean, he had a decent year last year. So, he didn't have the big shoes to fill like Kelvin Benjamin did.
I would make one adjustment to your statement, okay? The following is true of these receivers, okay? Rod Streeter, Austin Colley, and I'll come up with another one randomly. Riley Cooper. All of them are starters. Steve Smith is potentially a Hall of Effing Famer, and Kelvin Benjamin is filling that role. That's all I'm saying. Thank you for that setup, Chris. Appreciate it. Yeah, so with that, this is normally the part where our show would conclude, but because we're pretentious, we're going to go overtime because we got a lot of stuff this week. But if you're whatever. We have control over this. Let's just keep going. Moving on. let's see. Did offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, right?
Yes.
Chris, you tell me.
Okay, I got C.J. Mosley, inside linebacker for the Ravens. He has 76 tackles, 8 pass defended. 2 interceptions, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. I didn't think the Ravens defense would be as good as it was. I know yesterday it didn't look all that great, right. But like I said, I did my picks before yesterday's games on this because I was doing it through the week.
Because we're
and I'm looking at all their defensive rookies. No one else is standing out that much. I mean, if you come in here and the Ravens defense is better than I thought it was going to be, so and I got to give it to him.
Yeah, I mean, at one point, this Raiders defense was being led in interceptions by a guy who's 340 pounds and Haloti Ngata. I'm just saying. Weasel, who you got?
I got Anthony Barr. Why not? He's a
homer.
Outside linebacker, Vikings, 58 combined tackles.
If he doesn't win that overtime game in front of you while you're there, do you make this pick?
No. So he did have 47 solo tackles, 4 sacks, which I believe heads the rookie class, and that fumble. Hey. That was a win right there.
Bro, understand, I'm not hating on you. Your brutal, instantaneous honesty was what makes that great.
And I guess a backup, Kyle Fuller for the Bears cornerback.
Your backup, my selection.
So, yeah, because he did a lot. And he was thrust into the role, you know.
Yeah.
And he's really standing out, so.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like he has just enough stats for a corner for you to respect him, yet his stats kind of trail off. I think it's because they stopped testing.
Yeah.
You know, and he has, I mean, how many corners have 3 forced fumbles? Granted, 2 of them were probably against 49ers, but, you know, okay. But 9 passes defended among tied for tops among rookies. I mean,
he had 3 interceptions in his first 3 games.
Yeah.
His NFL career.
Dude, just trying to tell you.
Yep.
Anyways. So you got 3 interceptions in 3 games, and they tend to stop throwing at you. Kyle Fuller, defensive rookie of the year, according to Student Game. Not that your choices were bad, gentlemen. I considered them. Mine just the best because I said so. Now, next up, Chris.
Offensive player of the year.
Should have started with defensive player. We all know who that is.
We can go defensive player of the year. That's fine.
Okay, defensive player of the year.
Yeah, who are you going to pick, Kyle?
Jared out. No, I'm hot for J.J. Watt. Come on now. If you don't know, you better ask somebody. He has 3 touchdowns on the year, and 2 of them are on defense. You're not picking J.J. Watt. You're doing it wrong. I don't need stats. Next up. I hope somebody heard me throw my pin for effect. Chris.
Yeah, I got J.J. Watt also.
Yeah.
I was actually going to try.
He's hot for a Watt.
I was trying to find someone else to put in this spot because I was going to put J.J. Watt somewhere else, but. You
know,
I couldn't.
I see where you're going. In earnest, you know a dude dominates when you're trying to find someone else to replace him and you just can't. Weasel.
8.5 sacks.
Harrison
passes.
Smith.
No. Second year, though.
Anthony Barr.
It's 8.5 sacks, 8 passes defended, 1 INT, 1 fumble recovery, both returned for a touchdown, and he had a touchdown on offense, of course, but...
3
J.J. Watt. And the thing is that I don't know what's
I'm
up.
I'm sorry.
With,
say it a little louder so everybody knows that you're hot for him, too.
What? J.J. Watt?
Bingo. Thank you.
Boom.
No, what were we saying?
Oh,
keep going.
It was just a clowny. The guy's on the opposite side of J.J. Watt, and the thing is having trouble with injuries.
Game,
I think he's supposed to come back in the next couple weeks or so, but.
He was supposed to be back against the Steelers, and that ain't working out so hot either.
We'll see how he does. Cause, well,
he was back last week, and then he got injured again.
Exactly.
So.
That's bad.
That's what I meant. That was the Monday night game last week, right? So, yeah. Not last Monday, but the Monday before. Anyways, next up, Chris.
Offensive player of the year.
We'll lead this one off because I'm still wrestling with mine.
I'll just say, about quarterbacks, I would say that there's a lot of them that I would call. You can't really pick a quarterback from the ones that we have now because it's like the touchdowns, the interceptions. A lot of people have the same kind of ratio, and it's tough. But the thing is that you have DeMarco Murray from the Cowboys running back.
Yep.
The guy has 1,133 yards.
That's a lot.
And then second place is Arian Foster, who has 300 yards less than him. And he has 7 touchdowns. And... if he, you know, gets, it was a big loss with Tony Romo.
Of course.
But, I mean, if he can, you know, keep it up, he can, you know, threaten 2,000 yards, so.
So your answer is DeMarco Murray.
Yes, it is.
Guess what? Mine too. Chris.
Yeah, mine as well.
Oh my gosh, even the New York guy picked the Cowboy, DeMarco Murray. Bingo. I think we're going to have some differing answers on this last one. Chris.
MVP of the season?
Weasel, lead it off.
Why not be a homer and pick Big Ben? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
For two games?
27, 120 yards, 22 touchdowns, 3 INTs. Even though, like, you know,
that surprised me so
12
much
of those were, yeah, but
I don't know.
About 12 touchdowns were in the past 2 weeks, but it sounds like, I mean, if you throw 6 touchdowns in consecutive games, I think that the team is clicking. So,
Anyway, I don't know. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, this was a toss up for me when looking at it. Like I said, I made my picks before yesterday. I was going with Peyton Manning again, just because they have a 6-1 record. You know, he does have the touchdown. They've only turned the ball over 3 times going into yesterday's game, their offense.
And now it's 5 times, which is still pretty good for the first half of the year.
So I put it with the 6-1 least giveaways in the league. Yeah. So I got Peyton Manning. I was wrestling with that or Andrew Luck.
Well, hey, looks like I'm going to have a good future because Luck is on my side. Andrew Luck is, of course, the MVP here, guys. Are you kidding me? God, okay, dude. Okay, Roethlisberger, incomplete. He lost at home to Tampa. For the first half of the year, no, I can't take that. Now, if he keeps up what he's doing now, it doesn't have to be 6 touchdowns for the rest of the year. I'll think about it, okay? Because, hey, look, we all had the Steelers struggling at least a little bit. If they get the playoffs, fine. You can't pick Peyton Manning. He's got too many weapons, and his defense got even better. And Peyton Manning's doing worse than he did this time last year. He's regressing, and he has more weapons and help. You can't do that as an MVP. I'm sorry. Andrew Luck has basically one guy. T.Y. See, I like
Manning. Eugene.
Eugene. Damn it, you beat me to it. Eugene Hilton. That's it. You know, he doesn't have Gronk. He doesn't have Shane Vereen. He doesn't have Kelvin Benjamin, Calvin Johnson. I just want to go from Kelvin to Calvin because that's fun to say. But Andrew Luck, dude, one of his losses, first of all, was a complete larceny against the Eagles on Monday night where he actually won that game and the ref blew a call. All right, it's that simple. And as it stands, he's lost only 2 games, in my opinion. And the game where Big Ben went all crazy for over him, scoring, leading his squad to 51 points, he still managed 34. Now, you could argue he threw turnovers to give the Steelers 17 points. But if that's true, that means he... when he struggles, his team does. It's that simple. He's the most valuable player to his squad. It's that simple. Hey, and until last week, until yesterday, I'll grant, I had Philip Rivers in my top 4. So there you go.
Yeah, I had him as well.
Anyways, so we're already running late. Let's wrap this up, gentlemen. It's time for the study hall. Chris. Well, we right. Yeah, I know. You're creeping up. Shut up.
No, actually, we were both 8-4 last week because you picked the Cowboys because you didn't know about Monday night.
I know.
We still went with the Cards, though. You were talking about how good the Cards were doing well, and you still went with the Cowboys.
Shut up.
Weasel did gain 2 games. He was 10-2.
Woot.
So I have have a 6-game lead between you both. You both are tied.
I just suck.
Right.
Which I guess means Weasel sucks too because we're tied. Anyways.
Okay. So first game Thursday night, Browns at the Bengals. The Browns haven't looked so great lately. I'm gonna go with Bengals, even though they haven't looked great either. But they do have AJ Green back, so I got the Bengals.
This might be tougher if Josh Gordon was coming back this week. He is not. I have the Bengals. Weasel.
Contrarian, I got the Browns.
Oh snap! Look what he told you. Look, you do realize just because you lost, gained 2 games doesn't mean you have to get this aggressive. It's still only halfway through the season, right?
I know.
Okay.
I know.
I'm just checking.
The next game is Chiefs at the Bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we all skip this one,
yeah,
Chiefs?
Chiefs. Thanks. I got the Chiefs.
It's okay. an Buffalo.
Yeah. Oh, no, Buffalo.
So, yeah, Chiefs.
All right. You got the Dolphins at the Lions. You know, the way the Dolphins have played the last 2 weeks, it's a little tough, but you also see how the Dolphins have played against other teams and how Lions have been doing well without Calvin Johnson. I'm going Lions.
Not only have the Lions done well without Calvin Johnson, they've done well without Reggie Bush. I have the Lions this week.
Boom, going with the Dolphins.
Two contrarians for Mr. Weasel Weez. Mm-hmm. Weasel Weez!
Yeah, boy.
I hope Tannehill's ready for Nick Foley and Dominic Sue.
Yeah.
We shall see.
The Lions are the best defense in the league right now, by the way.
Damn.
Cowboys at the Jags.
Anybody?
It's Whedon.
Yeah.
It's Whedon. Even though it's still Whedon, I'm going Cowboys.
Me too.
I go Cowboys.
Yeah, about to say, you ain't that brave, son.
Niners at the Saints. I'm going Saints.
You do that. And the officials might give you this one, too. And no, I'm not referring to last week. I'm referring to last year, where a helmet hit to the shoulder of Drew Brees would change the freaking realm of the entire NFC with horrible calling. That one game kept the Cardinals out of the playoffs, got the Saints into the playoffs, gave the Seattle Seahawks home field advantage, and on and on and on. You don't take kind of that kind of memory lightly if you are a defense that was thusly foregone. And by the way, I think some other people can be pissed about last week too. I'm picking the Niners to come out charged off, pissed off, golden helmets ready to crush the other golden helmets in the Superdome. I have the 49ers.
Homer.
49ers verse.
I knew someone was going to do it.
Verse again?
Niners Saints.
Okay.
With the whole illegal call thing and the golden helmets, I couldn't have given you more clues.
Why not? I'll pick the Saints.
Good, because I'll put you down as the Saints anyway.
Hater.
You got the Titans at the Ravens, even though the Ravens didn't look all that great. Yesterday. I got the Ravens.
Anybody? Okay, good. Ravens. Even with Joe freaking Flacco.
There's another game we can all... I'm just going to write everyone in. Steelers. Steelers at the Jets.
Wait, no.
Oh, this is probably the worst game to pick. The Falcons at the Bucks.
A true toilet bowl in the finest fashion.
The way the Falcons and Bucks are playing, I'm going Bucks just because the Falcons, I don't...
You know, at least the Bucks have kept games close, and Gerald McCoy is locked up on contract against that weak, weak offensive line. I, too, have the Bucks. Weasel.
Let's see. Bucks versus...
Do it. I dare you.
Contrarian. I'm doing it.
Boom! I'm getting at least one game back.
Broncos at Raiders. I got Broncos.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it's going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, the Raiders have put up a couple close games, but no. Next one.
Rams at the Cardinals. I'm going Cards. I know it could be a trap game.
It has.
I mean, the
Rams. Yeah.
For Rams beat the Niners. They beat the Seahawks.
I think that's going to do enough to keep that team amped and serious. I mean, last week they went out. I'm picking the Cards, of course, but going out last week and doing what they did to the Cowboys. They might go in overconfident, but I doubt it, Weasel.
Got the Cards.
Giants at Seahawks. I got the Seahawks.
Again, I'm not touching that one. If Rashard Jennings were healthy, I'd think about the Giants. He is not. I have the Seahawks.
The Seahawks too.
Bears at the Packers. I'm going with the Pack.
I mean, you have to. Until the Bears win a game, I can't take them seriously. I have the Packers. Weasel.
I think it was Brandon Marshall that was saying that. So we got all this talent on the team. You got Forte. You got him. You have Alshon Jeffrey. You have, I think it's Bennett. Martellus Bennett or whatever.
Martellus Bennett.
And he didn't mention Cutler, but he was kind of alluring to the fact that Cutler, yeah, you're having some problems. But
he did backpedal and say he did build a condo that I own, but, you know.
So it's Bears and
Packers.
Packers. I got to go Packers.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would say, to quote your boy Brandon Marshall there, that the Bears have been performing unacceptable. Chris!
Yeah, the Panthers at the Eagles. I was originally going to go with Eagles, but now that Nick Foles is out, Sanchez is in, Nico Ryans is out as well. Cam Newton will be back to form. Kelvin Benjamin will have a good game. I'm going Panthers.
You know, it's not so much that you're wrong about the D'Amico Ryans point, because that's a big deal. But ever since the Panthers have been without Greg Hardy due to the domestic violence charges, their defense has been pointless too against a team that at full strength on offense can run off 100 plays in a single professional football contest. I don't think Sanchez will throw two picks to the Panthers. I got the Eagles. I'm keeping the faith. Weasel.
I will pick the Eagles too.
And that'll wrap it up for this week. That is the Monday Night Football Contest. And hopefully somebody will win a game by kicking an oblong ball through a giant H and win a most gripping victory. And if you don't know that's from Coming to America, you're the problem. At any rate, until next time, folks, class dismissed. And now I need to find the bell. Damn it.